Please stand for the acclamation. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. 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 Loving God, we confess that at times we do not share in the joy of the resurrection, but are caught in the worries of the world. We confess that we do not always live in the spirit of a new life, but remain discontent, grumbling, and anxious. Forgive us for not sharing in the good news. Forgive us when we find it more comfortable to worry and complain than to risk the joy and encouragement of new life in Christ. Call us back to your ways, O God, to seek hope and reconciliation, restoration and peace. Amen. Christ is risen. The stone is rolled away, the tomb found empty. Mary calls out, I have seen the Lord. We have seen Christ too, in every helping hand, in every heartfelt gift, in every choice to restore life in this world. We are called to this new life, a life of forgiveness and reconciliation. You are forgiven. Accept your forgiveness and know that God loves you. Walk forward on this journey of faith. Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen. I invite you to turn and greet your neighbors, and peace be with you. All right. I invite all of our children and youth to join me up front for the children's celebration.
Thank you.
so good to see all of you here this morning. If you want to turn around so you're facing me, I want to introduce you to my friend Larissa, who's here with a very special Easter basket that she is going to explain to us.
So how many of you this morning had your own Easter basket and you went hunting for eggs? Yeah? Okay. I have an Easter basket too. My mom was born in Ukraine. And when I grew up, at Easter, we'd make a basket like this and we'd bring it to church. And it has very specific food in it. And then we light a candle and we bless the basket. So I wanted to show you what was in my basket today and what it means. So we have bread in the basket, and the bread represents Christ, okay? We also have, just like you had, we have eggs, but our eggs are a little different. They're Ukrainian eggs, which means you blow out the inside and you decorate the outside. So if you want, you guys can pass those around. You can look at them. Here, you can grab some more. You want to see one? There you go. You can pass it around. Okay, we also have... I know, because you have to blow out the inside and then paint the outside, so it's an empty egg. Yeah. In the basket, we also have other items like sausage, which represents God's generosity. We have butter that Laura shaped in a lamb that represents the goodness of God. We have cheese that represents the moderation that we should have in all things. We also have salt, which is our duty to others. And we have a candle that we light. And this candle represents that Christ is the light of the world. So we'll light the candle. Then we can say a prayer over the basket, and then after church today, we'll eat the food in the basket. And that's how we celebrate Ukrainian Easter.
Thank you for sharing that with us. So we're all going to actually get to help bless this basket today. And maybe some of you have heard that word Ukraine recently because there's some scary stuff going on over there. So in addition to praying over this basket, we're going to pray for all of the people that also share this tradition over there and for peace for all of them. Okay, let's pray together. Gracious God, God of all people, we ask for your blessing to be on this basket today for Larissa and Anna and Laura and Pete, and for being able to share in this tradition with us. We know that you are the God of all people, and we continue to just pray for all of the people in Ukraine, that your peace and your mercy would just wash over them. And all of God's kids say...
Today's first scripture reading comes from Isaiah. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on my holy mountain, says the Lord.
Our gospel lesson today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to the sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again?" Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by himself. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. Last week, we gathered here just like this, but we had our palm leaves and we were shouting Hosanna. And at that time, I asked you to think about how the expectations of Jesus' followers would impact how they saw the events of this week unfold. As we know, many of the people that were cheering Jesus into Jerusalem a week ago were the same people chanting for his crucifixion 4 days later. Hopefully, each of you were able to suspend your expectations throughout this Holy Week to let God reveal God's self to you and how God is working in your life. And now here we are again, this time with our alleluias, and yet another scripture that really sets us up with our expectations. I suspect the "they" in Luke, they being the women who faithfully stayed with Jesus on Friday evening, came to the tomb that Easter morning expecting to honor the body of their friend with the spices they had prepared. I wasn't there, but my guess is that they expected the body of Jesus to still be there, which is clear. That is said in the scripture. That they would do their thing, they would grieve, they would make their visit, they'd pay their respects, they would go home. I can only guess that the last thing that they thought they would see, in addition to an empty tomb, was two men dressed in dazzling clothing, just hanging out and waiting to greet them. I can't imagine they would expect someone to tell them, "Your friend is among the living. Like, he's not dead. Go find him. He's very much alive." And Jesus' followers have been telling this story ever since. A story that is strange and illogical, a story that is miraculous and yet somehow is true, a story that I know some of you have a very hard time believing, a story that my 10-year-old has pushed me on this week about how it doesn't make any sense. So whether you believe this story exactly as it is written, or whether you can appreciate this story for the symbolism of death and rebirth, this is our story as people of Easter. It's a story that I believe in, and I'll tell you why. I've been present with too many people while they are dying who have called out to greet God, not to believe it. I've seen too many people suffering from terrible and devastating life circumstances who never lose their hope, not to believe it. I've witnessed the miracle of birth with my 3 kids and seen these tiny humans come into the world where there was once nothing and hear their heartbeat, not to believe it. I don't know how it happened or what it looked like when it happened. Even the 4 gospel writers can't agree on the details, just as I imagine we all wouldn't agree on the details as we are here today. But at the end of the day, I hope what we can agree on is what comes out of this story, the life and the work that we're called to do because of this story. the way we choose to respect people for exactly who they are, for the way we're committed to caring about our creation, for the way we expect everyone to act and speak in ways that are respectful, that we can continue to nurture the wondering in our children and youth, but also as adults to question these bizarre stories. And that, to me, is what matters far more than the details. This Easter story is very much happening right here at Ames UCC. The really good news is that we are not dead, not even close. After 2 years of every expectation that any of us ever had about anything coming to a complete stop, we as individuals and as a society and even at this church are beginning to reset and find that new renewal. And a lot has changed right here in these walls in the last 2 years. We've lost dear friends that are missing in these pews, and it's especially painful on days like today when I see where people are supposed to be sitting. We've said goodbye to our senior minister, which left some of us feeling sad and some of us angry and some of us perhaps even a bit of relief. We've had to adjust how we worship to put in extra effort to maintain relationships. And it's truly remarkable how much more deeply I am connected to some of you now after 2 years of only seeing you online than I was for, I was gonna say for the million years I've been here, but then I saw Von Speer come in and I was like, geez, he's been here a million and one, so whatever. But for the very many years I've been here, I feel more deeply connected to you now. Your relationships with people in the church have grown closer and more meaningful with this time. In a time when we could have seen attendance slip and pledges drop and our children and youth distancing themselves from each other and our church, we have not. Like everyone else, we've had a difficult 2 years, but this congregation is as full of life today as it was an hour ago when there were 30 kids running around to gather eggs. And speaking of eggs, there might be a few more lingering in the pews, and I feel like if you spy it, like finders keepers at this point. Yeah. Many of our groups have continued to meet weekly. The Bible study actually has more people participating now than it did 2 years ago. Our book club has continued to meet on a regular basis, men's fellowship, youth group, and godly play. Because of all of you, and a special shout out to Terry Potter, our participation at Food at First never ceased throughout the entire pandemic. These things don't just happen on their own, but because all of you are willing to work together to adjust your expectations so that we could continue to be together and to be church for our community. Even while our building was closed for over a year, several of you, Nick and Ken and Steve, came in weekly to walk through and make sure nothing was leaking or seemed remiss. Our entire exec board met every month and thoughtfully made decisions about what was best for each of you and for our staff. They made difficult decisions, not because it was what they wanted to do, but because they knew it would keep us all safe. And that, in my opinion, is true leadership. I'd left some of those meetings so proud of Nancy Dunn and Eric Abbott and all of our leaders, each and every person that had to make a vote. And if you haven't already, I hope you're able at some point to personally thank one of our leaders for the emotional load they have graciously carried for all of us to get us to this point where we can be here and worship together safely this morning. I encourage all of you to look around. Do you know the people that sit next to you in worship? We've welcomed several new members in the last 2 years, new friends that were willing to make promises to be a part of this congregation, and they didn't even get cake afterwards to celebrate, which is something we really like to do at Ames UCC. It's the people that are sitting in these pews next to you that have committed to love your children at their baptism. It is the people sitting in these pews that have prayed for you by name this Lent. In the pew next to you is a person that perhaps brought you a meal when you were healing or grieving or had a new baby, or they're willing to do that someday if you need it. In the pew over there is someone that sent you a birthday card, or it was just Barbara Fabley because she knew you needed new jokes for the new season. It is the people in these pews that made sure we had enough pledge money this year to hire a youth director, which we desperately needed, and to pay that person a decent wage. Those pledges are allowing us to keep up with our building and continue to give money beyond our walls, which is something that has been a priority for this congregation. In these pews are the people that will step up and take care of your family when someone is sick or when you stand in need of prayer. And in these pews, we share that intimacy and authenticity during our prayer time to say them as well as to receive them. As a church, we're sitting right in this holy space right now. We are literally teetering between what was and what is to come. We cannot just expect someone else is going to step up and do it. We cannot just assume that the communication is happening. We each have to be responsible for working to keep the things that are important to us at the front and foremost. And as for the other stuff, perhaps it's time to make way for that rebirth and regrowth. It's exciting to think about the possibilities of the future when we hang on and rely on that wisdom from our past, and we look at the energy that's excited about moving forward. And friends, this is our resurrection story. I wish all of you had been here on Friday night to hear Eric Abbott preach. It was incredibly meaningful and deeply moving. He reminded us all that in our darkest hour, on that Friday evening when Jesus was crucified, to remember that Sunday is coming. That in this broken world, God will bring us new life. It may not be exactly the way we expect things are going to happen, but sometimes it may even be better. Despair will be extinguished with hope. In our tears, we will find joy. Even in death, we are given new life. The resurrection gives us the expectation that the way things have always been will not always be. And today, friends, today is Sunday. So today we get to celebrate new life in the many forms that it takes all around us. What needs to be let go of in order to make room for that renewal and growth in your own life? Today is Sunday. Alleluia. Amen.
Thank you.
Come, if you are hungry, there is food to eat. Come, if you are thirsty, there is water to drink. It is food for those who hunger for justice and water for those who long for a life all its fullness. Come, eat and drink to proclaim the feast of God's kingdom, where all are welcome and no one is left out. God, our guardian and creator, Jesus, our guide and healer. Spirit, our comforter and disturber. So on the night before Jesus' betrayal, he met at a table with all of his closest friends, the disciples, and he shared a meal with them. And he knew, he had those expectations to know exactly what was going to happen, but even those closest to him did not. And so he continued to just share wisdom with them. So as they gathered around the table, he took the bread and he broke it and he offered it to each of them. And he said, every time you gather, every time you all continue to be together, any time, no matter who you are, when you gather, you eat this and remember me. And the same with the cup. He took the cup and he shared that as well with each of his friends. And he said, this is the cup that I pour out for you. For each of you. And when you gather together and you pass this bread and you share in this cup, remember that I have done this for you. Jesus set the table for his friends to remind them always that no matter what happens in life, whatever our expectations are, God will meet us here. So whether you come to this table today hungry and in need of this blessing, whether you come to this table today as a skeptic of this whole bizarre story, whether you come to this table today feeling like you're not really able to authentically be yourself, I invite you to come. I wish I could invite you to actually come forward, but I invite you to take your wafer and your juice and come. And eat that wafer and drink that juice and know that God is with you exactly where you are. Thanks be to you, O God, for your presence and purpose, for your loving kindness and your steadfast spirit. Amen. At this time, we will be able to share our joys and our concerns with one another, and we'll pray for them. Barbara's going to come around with the microphone, so if you have something that you'd like us to pray about, please raise your hand, and Barbara will come around.
So, hi, I'm Terry Potter, and I just want to thank, once again, all of the people who came yesterday to help with Food at First. We served 77 of our friends and neighbors here in the Ames area, and there were a lot of you there. I really appreciate each and every one that came, and I'll be around to remind you of the next third Saturday. So, thank you.
I'm Laura Deal, and last Sunday I asked you to pray for my sister-in-law, Holly, because she lost her mom. This week she lost her dad. I also would like you to pray for my sister-in-law, Diane, who has been ill for quite a while and is back in the hospital with a lung infection.
Oh, goodness.
Prayers for our own Jim Peek, who is in the hospital right now. And, of course, prayers for his wife, Lori.
Lori Peek called this morning to let me know that Jim's in the hospital with several different infections, and it doesn't look good. And so she asked for our prayers specifically for Jim, but then also asked if we would pray for her. So we will definitely do that.
And also, if we could, I don't know if I said I'm Krista Anderson, but if we could also continue to pray for Lindsay Hammond Gomez. As many of you know, she's been a very faithful, and she's probably in the hospital right now on Zoom. But
Lindsay online?
Keep going.
Anyhow, she's had some health difficulties before, but she fell and re-broke her foot, and I think especially on, since this is Easter Sunday, it's going to be a difficult day, and in her case, she doesn't know what the next, if you'll pardon the bad pun, what the next steps are for her, and that can cause great anxiety, and there are many anxious people, and of course, prayers for the people of Ukraine. And it's hard to think of how difficult this Easter Sunday must be for all the people there and all their uncertainty.
Our dog Reese's had surgery, and I like prayers for her and for her healing.
Our dog Risa has had surgery, and so she wants prayers for her and her healing.
What is your dog's name? Lisa?
My name is Jan Lee, and I wanted to thank all of you who may have been praying for my great niece, Peyton. She had her first round of chemo, and she's been at home the last week recovering. She has a very long road in front of her, but she's a real fighter. But I know that any of our prayers make a difference, so an enormous thank you.
Hi, I'm Charles Knicker. You know, we just said in an earlier prayer, here are companions know our joy. I have joy for the theologian in residence committee members who've worked very hard. As you know, we're not going to meet in person next week. It's all by Zoom. But we will have our theologian in residence program next Sunday morning. It will be an interfaith service, and we are gathering statements from 11 congregations, Hindu, Muslim, Greek Orthodox, others. So that's a beautiful thing for us to see in light of all the climate control, and also what wonderful things will happen. It'll be a national webinar on Saturday. And we put out things. So please sign up and participate, because we'll have joy.
I'm Tom Hertz, and I just wanted, my daughter Jana has been managing a nonprofit in Indonesia, and it's in transition to find another job. So we have her in our thoughts. Thank you.
I just want to thank our choir for putting in so much work and singing for us, because music is like a joy to me, and so many of us here And what they did today was beautiful. I want to thank you.
Hi, Jeremy Best. This is for Noah Best, who wants me to say it. He wants to say prayers of gratitude that my dad, Herb Best, is back in church today.
Yay! So, we're glad to have you, Herb. Linda Hansen shared on the chat that Seth is working again on his recovery and is currently at the Bridge Home. So if anyone wants to reach out to him or write him, she is inviting you to do that. That's Seth Hansen is working on his recovery again at the Bridge Home. Yeah. Which the Bridge Home used to be ERP. So if you're not familiar with what the Bridge Home is. All right, well, let's pray. Gracious God, on this Easter morning, it's sometimes difficult to hear about all of the destruction and despair, all the illness and grief all around us. And yet, the promise of your resurrection in life all around us gives us hope. And on this day, we cling to that hope just as much as we cling to each other as we're able to share all of our joys and concerns with one another. We ask for healing this morning, especially for our dear friend Jim Peek as he's hospitalized. We pray for your healing hands to be on him. May he know how much he's loved by each and every one of us, by his family, especially his wife Lori, and of course, God, by you. We also pray for Lori that she would have the strength to make wise decisions in regards to his health care, that she too would feel so well supported and loved by the people around her. We pray for your healing as Diane continues to be hospitalized again, on Lindsay as she continues to heal, on Pete Walter and Peyton and Seth. We pray for Risa and for Mariella and Ellie and Zoe as they take care of their puppy as she continues to heal from her surgery. We pray for Laura's sister-in-law, Holly, as she continues to just wade through the depths of grief, losing her mother a week ago and then her father a few days later. May she too know you and draw her strength and find peace in you and your promise of eternal life. And we celebrate today with Terry and the many, many people here who were at Food at First yesterday for the ministry that they were able to offer and the food that they were able to provide for people in need. We give you thanks for Charles and all of his theologian and residence committee members for the work that they've done and are looking forward to next weekend. And we celebrate with the Best family that Herb is feeling well and strong and able to be here today, just as so many of us are for the first time in 2 years. We continue to pray for the people of Ukraine. We wonder when their resurrection is going to happen and their renewal and their rebirth. We pray for their peace. We pray for the refugees to find resources and strength and allies. We pray that we can open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to do what's right by each of them, but by each and every one of our neighbors. We pray for Jana Hertz during this transition in her life, just as well as we pray for this congregation as we look forward to the renewal and rebirth and new growth here. Together we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. I invite you to stand as you are able for our closing song. friends. Alleluia. Go now in peace. Amen.